Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Listen, good day to Grenada, Caracou, Petit Martinique, the rest of the Eastern Caribbean, those of you listening on the World Wide Web. This is Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. It's a great joy to be with you once again as we discuss matters pertaining to the Ministry of Finance. As you know, last week I had Mr. Timothy Antoine with me, and we were talking very much about a visit to Washington. We spoke about a little bit about the statutory body explaining that, and I really want to delve with to the debt restructuring and where we are with that. And this week I'll try to focus on that and some other thoughts. I'm happy to have him with us once again to talk to us what is happening within the Ministry of Finance. So we take a word from our sponsors, we come back, and I will continue my discussion here with Mr. Timothy Antoine.
In these troubled times, you need to wrap yourself around your faith and let your faith protect you. That's why we at the St. George's Baptist Church offer you a spiritual home and an extended family. We're not just a church, we're a community of believers who encourage and support your spiritual growth.
You gotta have hope. You gotta have something.
You're personally invited to our Sunday service at the St. George's Baptist Church at Springs. For prayer, encouragement, and worship, call 440-6325 or 409-1533. Find your way home. Don't stumble in the dark.
And who will save your soul if you won't save your own? And never.
Welcome back to Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. With me in the studio is Mr. Timothy Antoine. Good day to you, Mr. Timothy.
Good day, Pastor Simon, and good day to all our listeners, home and abroad. Hope they're enjoying the Sunday afternoon.
Right, pretty much.
Or whatever time of day they're listening to this program.
Whatever time. But if you think about it, two persons would have made, they would have gone, they have celebrated the May Day celebration, and I guess back to work.
Back to work. Life continues.
Life continues. And so I'm happy and delighted that you are here with us today, that we can look at the question of what is happening within the Ministry of Finance. What are the big things for the Ministry of Finance, even at this time of the year?
Well, for us, we are very much focused on completing the structural reforms which are essential for the IMF to approve officially or second review. And by IMF, I mean its board. So we've passed the targets in terms of revenue and expenditure. But there are some reforms with respect to some laws that we have to pass. That is a major focus now. So fiscal responsibility legislation, tax incentive, public debt management, some amendments to the public finance management. All of those are part of the structural reform agenda which we are pursuing. So that's a big part of it right now. We are also focused on inland revenue. I guess we'll talk about that a little later, and how we restructure inland revenue for higher performance. We are, of course, starting to get ready, even as we implement in 2015, our eye is also on 2016. So we know by the middle of the year, we will be then calling people together for us to begin the discussion on the 2016 budget. So you have to do these things in parallel, you know. And of course, debt restructuring is a big part of what we're trying to sort of wind down now. The big parts of it. So those are some of the things, but I must tell you, I mean, there's a lot going on in the Ministry of Finance right now.
It sure looks so. So in light of that, what more information can you share with us about the process of debt restructuring, which is important? Explain the clause of sharing of CBI process and what is involved in that, and even explain to us what is CBI.
Right. So CBI is Citizenship by Investment. But let me come back to that. The debt restructuring is a very important part of the homegrown program. And I've said repeatedly on this program and elsewhere that we cannot have a successful homegrown program without a proper and comprehensive debt restructuring. What we're doing with improving the revenues through the additional taxes, cutting expenditure through waste reduction and other initiatives, attrition policy, those are very important, but not sufficient by themselves. And that we also must have a comprehensive debt restructuring so that we put our debt on a sustainable track, a more manageable track, so that we could service it on time. So we've been very much at this for the last year and a half, well, almost 2 years now. We, as I think the nation knows, we were able to reach agreement with Taiwan, our largest bilateral creditor. We got a 50% haircut, so that what was $100 million almost in debt has been cut by half. And we have to service that over a period of time, 15 years. We have now reached agreement with our commercial creditors, in principle agreement. And what do we mean by in principle agreement? We have not yet signed. Right now, the lawyers are working on that. So the lawyering is going on to the final documentation that we will then be able to formally exchange and sign. But the agreement, all the financial terms have been negotiated and agreed. And of course, that is a 50% haircut as well. The total of that is $262 million. So obviously 50% of that is $131 million, which is around $353 million. So we're talking about a reduction in our debt in two tranches of at least $353 million.
Wow, that's quite a lot.
That's quite a lot. And if you add the Taiwan portion with that, that's another 40 something. So easily we're talking $400 million already. And there's still more to come because we're not quite finished. And I will explain. So what we did is that we started with the big bilateral, biggest bilateral, Taiwan, the commercial piece, the bondholders, because together they account for 35, almost 40% of the total debt. And then we're now moving to the domestic creditors, which is what we're discussing, NIS and the banks and so on. So right now that discussion is going on to finalize that. After that, we'll complete the bilaterals and then we'll go to the Paris Club. We go into the Paris Club last because the Paris Club is the smallest part of the debt. It's less than 2% of total debt.
Just a matter of question, who make up the Paris Club?
The Paris Club are all the big bilaterals. United Kingdom, Canada, United States, Germany, Netherlands, France. In the case of Grenada, our main Paris Club creditors are UK, France, the US. Those are the big three, UK, France, the US. The others are relatively small. Russia, the small piece. Algeria, very, very small piece. And those are from the revolution. And then you have, Netherlands. I think we have very little, if any, with Netherlands now. So the Paris Club is traditionally these bilateral creditors. We met with them. I met with them early, the Secretary General, and we agreed that we'll come at the back end of our debt restructuring because they are very, very small. So we're dealing with the big things, the big ones first, right. The biggest creditors. So that's a process. Now, let me explain a little bit more about the commercial creditors, the bondholders, this 50% haircut. We get in this haircut in two tranches. The first half, or 25%, we get when we sign the agreement, which will be done very, very soon, in a matter of a couple of weeks, we expect. Then a few weeks. Then in the case of the second tranche, which would be the second 25 and 25 equal 50, that will come at the end of the program, the fund program, the homegrown program supported by the fund. And that is 2017, around June, see. The expectation is that we will continue to perform, and once we perform, we do what we're supposed to do, then the haircut will go. So there's an incentive for us to make sure we continue to do what we said we were going to do. Mm-hmm. If we fall off track, we won't get a second tranche. So the second tranche is agreed, but it is with the understanding that we'll do what we're supposed to do.
In the first?
Right. So the first one is fine. When we sign, we get the first part. That's agreed. The second part, to get to 50, is dependent on us continuing with the homegrown program and making sure that we do what we say we're going to do. And I want to make that very clear so that there is no doubt about it. We have to stay the course and finish what we started with this program. Now, CBI. You asked me what is CBI. Citizenship by Investment Program. That is a CBI. That is where for investments in the country, approved projects, or in a National Transformation Fund, people get citizenship. So that's why you call it citizenship by investment. You have to invest to get us to become a citizen. Those are they have programs all over the world, including the US and Canada and elsewhere. St. Kitts has, Antigua has, now Dominica has, and of course we have in Grenada. Now, the deal with the bondholders is that during the program, supported by the fund, for the next couple of years, to the end of the program, there will be no sharing of the proceeds of CBI. They will not get any money from CBI. During that time, we're focusing on growing the economy, paying down unpaid claims, and making sure that the economy is getting stronger and stronger. After the program ends, there will be a share of CBI if CBI is performing well. So the expectation is that there's a minimum threshold that government will get. And if we don't pass that threshold and the creditors do not get anything, I think it's $10 million US. Above that per year, above that, the creditors get a slice, right? 10%, 25%, up to 25%, but it's graduated. Now, I want to be clear. In no situation will the creditors get more than the debt that they originally, Grenada originally owed. Okay? They cannot exceed that. We have a cap. But here is the deal. The creditors have said to us, and we took the last part of the debt restructuring negotiation, this issue of CBI was a big issue. I mean, we spent months back and forth on this issue. They have said to us, we have seen St. Kitts program, which is very successful, meaning they've collected a lot of money. If Grenada is collecting the kind of money that St. Kitts is collecting, you do not need that relief. You do not need that relief because you'll be bringing in a lot of money. The reason why you're coming for debt restructuring is because you can't pay and you need help. If you begin to get a lot of money like St. Kitts, a lot of money. In the case of St. Kitts, in 1 year, you're talking about 10% of GDP. I mean, this is like easily, you know, you're talking about $200 million more.
Are you serious?
Correct. Correct. So they're saying, if you're collecting that kind of money from CBI, you don't need creditors to give you that relief. And they have a point. So what we've said is, we need that relief. We hope for a good program, but we don't know for sure. So we structured it very cleverly and very appropriately. If it is very successful, you get a slice. So you recover something. If it is not as successful, you get less or nothing. So they understand the risk. If it works really, really well, they get something back. If it doesn't work as well, they won't get anything back. And they understand that. But they did not want a situation where 5 years from now, 10 years from now, a lot of money is coming in. We're rolling in money from CBI, okay, and they have given us a 50% haircut. Don't forget, a 50% haircut is a big haircut.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, right? We borrowed, we can't pay, we've asked for help, they've agreed to cut it by half. You can't turn around in 3 years' time or 5 years and have a lot of money and then say, you know. So their concern is to make sure that if in fact the CBI is very successful, wildly successful, Alice and Kitts, that they will recover some. But in any instance, we are very clear that there's a cap. So while they could recover, they cannot exceed what we originally owed them. Mm-hmm. So that's a safeguard we've negotiated in this program. In addition, we're finalizing this hurricane clause, which basically says if there's a hurricane, there'll be a standstill. Because we don't want a situation, God forbid, that we got hit by a hurricane, we then cannot service the debt and we get into default. What we're saying, and this is, by the way, something I am advocating internationally. I spoke to the G20 on this a few weeks ago. That should be a standard clause in restructuring agreements for small states like Grenada. And one could argue for all states, but I certainly come from a small state, so I speak for the small state. I was speaking for the Caribbean. If there is a natural disaster, which can happen, God forbid, but it can happen, as we saw with Hurricane Ivan, there ought to be a clause in the agreement that says, we will not pay. That is to say, there's a standstill. And that is understood by agreement, so it does not constitute a default. Absent that, disaster strikes, we cannot pay, that means default. So we're being proactive, we're learning from our history, learning from the lessons of the past, and we're saying, we get that. We are in a hurricane area and things happen sometimes, and we hope it doesn't happen soon, but if it happens, God forbid.
You're prepared.
We're prepared. So the same way we're telling people be prepared in terms of reducing vulnerability, increasing resilience, taking precautionary measures, building to standard, building code standard, making sure you're on higher ground, you know, all of those things. At the financial level, we also want to be prepared. And that is what we've negotiated with respect to Taiwan. We're doing the same with the bondholders. And I am basically pushing for that to be a standard clause in all debt restructurings, especially for small states.
Well explained. I guess it gives us a clear idea of where we are when it comes to moving forward. Now, we take a word from our sponsors. We come back and I continue my discussion here with Mr. Timothy Antwine, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. And I want to ask him really when I come back, what is on the physical front in Grenada? Where are we and what is going on? So at least we can get a better clarity. And I'm sure the business persons who are listening, you want to hear what is happening on the physical front. So we take a word from our sponsors. I come back and speak with Mr. Timothy Antwine.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs. Backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acroprop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acroprop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Welcome back. This is Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. With me in the studio is Mr. Timothy Antwine. We continue our discussion from last week. Now, tell us, in Grenada at the moment, what is on the physical front in Grenada? What is going on?
Well, certainly we're seeing an uptick in economic activity. We know the economy grew last year by around 2.6%. 2013, it grew by 3.1%. We expect that it will go by at least 2% this year. The IMF made the comments to us in Washington recently, you know, that we had done better than they expected on the growth side. But we understand that the economy needs to grow even faster and we need to see more jobs created. So we expect to see some hotel development very shortly. That is going to be a boost because it's not just the construction activity, which of course is important in and of itself, construction being a big employer in Grenada, but also ultimately it positions the country in terms of rooms to be able to negotiate a better airlift. We've seen the situation with the cricket where people could not get rooms. People just could not get rooms. There are a number of people who could not come to Grenada or had to fly in the same day and fly out. They wanted to stay, they wanted to watch a bit of cricket, they wanted to do something, other meetings. They could not because there was simply no rooms, not enough rooms. No rooms were available, they were all taken, no room at the inn. So we have to make sure that we continue to build the room stock of the country. And to the extent that we do that, we will make it easier to market the country, we'll make it easier to negotiate airlift for the country. So obviously, there are a couple major hotel projects that are in the pipeline. And I would not say too much. I think less said until we actually see them start is probably the better. But I know from my own direct involvement with investment agreements and so on, that there are a couple big ones that will be coming on stream. And more will be said soon. I know the marinas, certainly you have the Clarkscote Marina that's progressing. There are a couple projects in Kairakou. Hotel project, marina projects that are about to start. And what we have also been told by the bankers when we met them a few weeks ago is that they're seeing more and more requests for loans in the real estate area, which is always a positive sign, because when real estate starts to pick up, you know that optimism is returning and there's going to see more construction. So more and more people are putting in requests and are making purchases on property. And then also they're beginning to see more requests to expand, to do things, whether it's business, new business or existing businesses. So obviously we wanted to go even faster, but the recovery is definitely coming along, and we want to see that continue. And I think what government is doing by itself is very important in terms of sending the right signal to the private sector and to foreign direct investors that we will run a fiscally tight ship. There will be fiscal stability, so that people have a confidence about that, and that what we're doing with the tax incentives and the business climate and so on to improve the climate will make it easier and easier for people to do business. And ultimately, that plus the energy reforms that we're doing, we believe will put the private sector in a stronger position to compete regionally or internationally. So that is what we're doing. So on the physical side, if you ask me. Now, on the fiscal side, the CBI is slowly coming around. I think because we started very cautiously, we're not seeing the kind of monies in CBI yet. So that CBI is a citizenship by investment program. So more agents have been employed and are being hired and so on to market the country and so on. And we expect that will pick up. And we think that with other things that are happening in Europe, that will benefit Grenada. So I will leave that there for now. But that is still relatively slow. It's still picking up, but relatively slow. And obviously, the more CBI we get, the faster we can pay down unpaid claims and the faster we can do the projects on the capital side of the budget. So CBI is important. On the revenue side, so this is not CBI, you know, the normal revenues, customs, inland revenue, that is on track. We continue to see solid revenue performance, improvement in administration and our collection systems. And as a result, we are on track with respect to those revenues. And on the expenditure side, we are keeping things very tight so that the monthly shortfall continues to fall. Remember when we started the program, we were at 18 million. At the end of 2014, that had been cut by half to 9 million. And I know for the first quarter, we had come down to even less than that in terms of the monthly shortfall. So that's a work in progress, but the fiscal situation is coming around. Now, don't get me wrong. We still have a lot of unpaid claims, although it's coming down and we're paying down every month, we're paying down some. But until we get to a point where we've eliminated most of them, obviously we won't rest. And it still is the fact that, of course, there are more bills than money. So I don't want to ever give the impression that things are easy now and we relax, because we're not. But obviously, compared to where things were, things have improved and we continue to move forward in that direction.
We just have over 5 minutes left. Time runs very quickly when I'm talking with you. When will we see the new Inland Revenue Division within the Ministry of Finance?
Very soon. We have put the recommendations before the Public Service Commission. So just to recall, there is a new structure that has been approved by the Cabinet based on the recommendation of experts that have been advising us for the last several months. That new structure includes what we call a large and medium taxpayer service and a small and micro taxpayer service. And we've segmented the taxes and therefore the customers to make it easier for people to comply and to get support from Inland Revenue to pay their taxes and to generally do business with the government. So that is a modern approach to tax administration that goes beyond simply tax measures. This is now how we organize Inland Revenue to better collect our taxes, to make it easier for people to comply, and to make it easier to support the community in compliance. Because the best compliance is, in fact, voluntary compliance. So we've put the recommendation to the Public Service Commission for the first phase in setting up. We expect that will soon be considered and appointments will be made. And then thereafter, we'll move to the second phase and the third phase and so on. So in the next few months, you will see a new look Inland Revenue in terms of our organization, in terms of our approach, how we operate, how we lead, how we do the business. And I think the private sector will be very pleased with that development, because for years they have lamented the fact that we have weaknesses in Inland Revenue. And we know we have them, and we're now trying to address them. And Inland Revenue, we must recall, is now the largest collector of revenue, not customs. Mm-hmm. Because with inland taxes, with VAT coming in the last 5 years and so on, there's a shift. With trade liberalization, it means less reliance on border taxes, more reliance on inland taxes like VAT, like personal income tax, like corporate income tax. Mm-hmm. And therefore, inland revenue's importance is growing. What ultimately we're looking for is a very professional tax service that has the respect of the private sector, that is professional, that has integrity, that has initiative, and that serves the Grenadian community, the Grenadian Grenada well. So that is what we should expect very soon.
Okay. In terms of reform, very quickly, what is next on the legislative agenda here in Grenada?
Very soon, going to Parliament, you will see tax incentives. We're going with a new tax incentives regime, again, to help the private sector grow the economy. That's a big part of this homegrown program, growing the economy, creating more jobs, making it easier to do business, to attract local investment and foreign investment. So you will see tax incentives. As part of strengthening our overall fiscal regime, you're going to see a fiscal responsibility law that will guide the government, make sure we don't overspend or live beyond our means. That's very important, not just now, but after the program is over. Public debt management, which will be a best practice law, not just in Grenada, but in Eastern Caribbean Currency Union. And of course, we're going to make some tweaks or amendments to the Public Finance Management Act. Those are some of the things that are going now. Tax administration, to help Inland Revenue strengthen again, to make it perform better as a high-performance organization within the government, you're going to see a tax administration bill going to Parliament as well. So those are some of the main things.
Okay, great. We're out of time. Final thoughts, at least I'll give you anything you may just want to mention to us.
Just to say that I thank God for his strength. The scripture says it is in him we live and move and have our being. It's a lot for our country, a lot for those of us who are working on these various initiatives. But we feel the strength that comes from above, from our God, and I also feel the support of many within the ministry, at the level of the cabinet, the parliament itself, the civil society, the social partners or development partners, the Grenadian community at large, even those of us who are paying more and we're making a sacrifice. But I think when we see the results, then we feel that it's worth it. And I want to encourage fellow Grenadians and my colleagues to just continue to push forward with God's help. So thanks again, and Pastor Simon, as always, thanks for your support.
Well, thank you, and I want to say on behalf of my listeners, thanks to you and the Prime Minister for the openness within the Ministry of Finance, because I believe this is the first time you're having a program like this where Ministry of Finance is talking every week about what is happening.
It is the first time, and we're happy to be doing it. It's important and it's needed at this time. And not just at this time, but frankly, I think going forward, it is something we want to be able to continue to do, even beyond the homegrown program. It is so vital that people understand the public finances and their role in just making sure that we manage well and the country benefits from whatever we collect.
It's really good, and I'm happy. You know, it helped me to understand a lot, and my listeners, we are very happy that the Ministry of Finance has opened itself and accepted my invitation to sit and talk every week about what is happening within the Ministry of Finance. To you, my listeners, thank you so much for joining me today, and as we share together, and the email address the folks can go.
FinanceGrenada or financegrenada@gmail.com.
Right, that's where they can send their questions.
That's where they can send their questions. They can send an email on comments on the program, whether they like, what they like, what they don't like, what they like us to focus on, if they need additional information, if there's something we said that they want more clarity. We're very happy to respond to those. So just send us an email. We're on Facebook as well. So that's also an opportunity for people who want to, who via that medium, that platform. Or you can call the Ministry of Finance, 440-2928. Or 435-0057. That's our corporate communications officer. And we're happy to take those questions and deal with them on the program.
Okay, wonderful. Or you can email me at stanfordsimon01@gmail.com. Folks, thank you so much. This has been another program of Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon, wishing you a very blessed and enjoyable week. Join me here next week at the same time while we do it all over again. Not too sure who Mr. Timothy would send to us, but I'm looking forward to the discussion. God bless you. Have a great week.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.